Welcome to Blazing Grace with Jason Graves and Taff Winnick. Here you'll find no condemnation, just two guys who are willing to help you discover God's grace for your life. Let's tackle today's issues. Here's Jason and Taff.
We're back. After a year of being off the air and a sabbatical, the Blazing Grace Show is back. Hello, everybody. This is Jason Graves. I'm glad to be back with you here in the studio. And oh my goodness, I'm looking around and there are a whole bunch of new faces. We've got a new co-host that I'm about to introduce you to. We've got new producers, but we're the same old Blazing Grace Show. So welcome back. I'm glad to introduce you to a good friend of mine and the Lord's provision for our prayers of a new co-host over the last year, Mr. Taff Winnick. Hello, Taff.
Hey, Jason. Hey, everybody.
How you doing?
I'm fantastic.
Yeah, great. Well, we're going to get to know you here and introduce you to the listeners. And you're going to want to hear Taff's story. You're going to want to hear about his ministry, legend, professional counseling. And then in the next show, we're going to talk about our vision heading forward for the show. And so we've retooled. We're happy to be working with Mike D. Herrera as our new producer. And so we're going to be having some fun and doing some new things together. But of course, with the same old flavor of helping people who are lost and broken, especially along the lines of sexual addiction issues. So Taff, you're familiar in your practice. Introduce us a little bit to yourself, and then we'll talk about legend a little bit.
Well, you know, where to start? I've been living in Colorado Springs since 2002. I've been married for 16 years, have a gorgeous wife, gorgeous kids, loving being in the mountains, loving being here, loving being a part of what God's doing in the Springs, mm-hmm. being able to meet with people. It's like the coolest job in the mm-hmm. world, I think, to be able to get behind the scenes in people's lives and mm-hmm. You know, to dig in the deep places, you know, to go into all the caves with people and kind of help them find the way out. That's been amazing for me. And I don't know, what do you want to know about me, Jason?
Well, what's important to know? Some Bible statistics. I mean, let these people know. I mean, they
right
can't
now,
see you.
Right now, my pulse is about 55.
Okay.
let's see.
So you've been living here in Colorado for about, 6 years now, something like that?
Yeah, about 6 years.
Okay, but you're originally from West Texas.
From West Texas. Okay. It's like a whole other country.
Yes. In fact, little known fact, people don't know this, but Texas is the only, I think, state that is actually not an actual part of, it's like a confederacy or something like that. It's like a separate, they could secede at any time from the United States. True fact, right?
Yeah, well, in a lot of people's minds, they are still their own republic.
Right.
And sometimes people themselves are their own republic
right,
out there.
Right,
so you
right.
just never know what you're going to run into.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
But yeah.
So the Lord brought you to Colorado Springs, and you've got some teaching, and you've worked in the public education and
yeah, I've been in education, public and private, for about the last 10 years. Mm-hmm. Worked also as a high school counselor mm-hmm. For one of the largest Christian schools in Colorado, so mm-hmm. I've done that for a good bit. Mm-hmm. And loved working with teenagers, loved the educational setting. Mm-hmm. Now just private practice.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So that's really good.
Yeah. And so you got into counseling. I think you went to Colorado Christian, is that right?
Colorado Christian right. University. Graduated in, 06, I think, mm-hmm. from Colorado Christian University, and with a degree in clinical counseling mm-hmm. from there.
Mm-hmm.
And previously, you know, my related field was history and English and Spanish.
Mm-hmm. Muy bien.
So, yeah, muy bien. Exacto. So, you know, that's kind of the educational history.
Right. I've never been that interested in history. To me, that stuff's all in the past. You know what I mean? I just try and move on, right?
Yeah.
So
so it's not good if we tell our clients that, but yeah. It's
right. So speaking of history and our clients, you know, you talked about those deep places. Talk a little bit about what drew you to getting into counseling and what that process was like, because I mean, certainly when you're a counselor, there are some aspects of education, but it's a very different field. It's very personalized. And so talk a little bit about that transition.
Well, for me, I've worked as a youth pastor as well. I've been involved in, you know, young people's lives, been involved in ministry all along the way. And I think people that go into counseling are people who have, honestly, I think they're people who have either been blessed by it or who have deeply needed it themselves or who have been impacted by other people who work in that field. And for me, it was that, you know, having, you know, you fight a few battles in life, you fight through some things like, you know, depression or anxiety or whatever your battle is. When you fight through some things and you really realize, how important it was to have somebody walking with you, down those paths, a lot of people, you know, myself included, but a lot of people I run into in therapy have very few therapists don't have a story. Mm-hmm. You know, there's always some significant thing that God has walked them through.
Right.
And they feel a need to give their life to helping other people do the same thing. And so, right. You know, very true with me.
Right. And so you mentioned depression and anxiety. I mean, do you have personal experience that with
Absolutely.
That yourself?
Absolutely. Okay. Yeah. Spent a couple of years of my life in that foreign country called mm-hmm. depression and anxiety. And, you know, without the real spirit of counsel in my life, without God's counsel in my life, I just, you know, there are, you can see why people don't see ways out of that, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. you know, without somebody to walk with you. So maybe somebody who's walked there before, and usually that's the most helpful when somebody's been in that wilderness, they've seen it, they know the landmarks mm-hmm. and they're able to walk you out and, right. you know, you get out of stuff like that. The first thing you want to do is help somebody out of that.
Right. And not just help them from a clinical perspective, but also from a personal one. So, right. you know, you're sharing your story here on the radio, you know, and thousands of people are going to hear this. That can be pretty vulnerable. So,
oh, absolutely.
What is it that enables you to do that? Because, I mean, that takes a special, I don't know what you want to call it, courage, bravery, whatever.
Well, I think it's like this. When you go through something significant, mm-hmm. one of the things you tell yourself is while you're in it, you're saying something like, you know, this better not be for nothing. Mm-hmm. Because if this is for nothing and I don't get to do anything with this, if there's no real light at the end of the tunnel, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. if this doesn't, you know, put me further along in my growth in God or in the kingdom or whatever, however you want to say that, mm-hmm. if it's for nothing, then why, that would be truly depressing.
Right.
And Absolutely. You make some deals with yourself when you're in the middle of, mm-hmm. you know, your personal wilderness that it's an if when you're in it, you say, if I get out of this, God, please use this in my life. God, please, whatever the pain was, whatever the shame was, whatever's going on, all of this mess right now that's me, God, would you please just, if you can find a way to use this, that would be amazing. Mm-hmm. And so you ask for that. And then the opportunity comes, and you're right. It does take some, when the opportunity comes to you later, it takes some courage to say, okay, here I am.
Right, right. Absolutely. So it's kind of like, you know, our listeners are familiar with the idea of redemptive vision. Yeah. And so, of course, you know, you came and helped us with our redemptive vision retreat this past spring. So you're very familiar. And by the way, folks, you know, if you didn't get a chance to hear the show that we did, oh gosh, it must have been a year or two back on Redemptive Vision. You can go to the archives page if you visit healingforthesoul.org and click on Radio Show tab and then the archives page. That'll take you to every show we've ever done. By the way, you know, Taff, Legend Professional Counseling, we want to kind of get an understanding of what sets that apart. And folks, if you want to visit Taff's website, that's legendcounseling.com. It's a beautiful site, Taff, just like
you
your
much.
Office here. It's just a gorgeous thing to behold. Tell us a little bit about what sets you apart. I mean, Colorado has a gazillion counseling practices. They're
right.
sort of a dime a dozen out here. And so tell us a little bit about your distinctives at Legend.
Well, when we were asking in our graduate program, you know, aren't there a gazillion counselors in Colorado Springs? And of course, all of our therapists were really amazing believers, you know, with their own, you know, stories. And they kind of smiled at us and said, there's always room for good counselors mm-hmm. in this
right.
community.
Right.
And, you know, and take that how you will. But yeah, that's true. And so it's, you know, for me, it was, well, this is where I feel like God's leading me. So here I go.
Yeah.
As far as Legend goes, it's an interesting thing naming a counseling practice. Mm-hmm. There's all kinds of you know, choices. And I liked legend just because the idea of story in a person's life, the idea of seeing your life story, knowing where you are in it, what character are you playing, what's going on with you. That seems to be what people mostly lose touch with. They forget who they are in their story. They forget who they are in the big story. And I noticed there's a big disconnect a lot of times with people who come to therapy broken, ashamed, hurting, their marriage maybe falling apart. Something's going on. And the thing that they walked away from and forgot was who they really believe that they are in God, or who they'd like to be in God.
Right.
You know, there's this thing that they saw with their heart maybe a long time ago when they were a kid, and now here they are, you know, in their adult life trying to, you know, they're in the middle of a mess maybe, and they lost sight of that thing. They lost sight of the original character that they felt like they were called to be. And so a lot of the therapy that I do is just helping people reconnect, helping them, you know, it sounds cliche, but finding their heart, finding what's really truly in their heart and beginning to live out of that place again, rather than, you know, pain or shame or running and hiding and all of that.
Right, right. Yeah, you know, that is so good, because one of the major ways that the enemy tries to change and influence and shape people is through identity. And so I love how you put that about, you know, who am I in Christ? Because for the sex addict, for example, you know, they think that, you know, their stuff is the worst stuff on earth. And the enemy loves to play on that shame. And that's why a lot of people, they have trouble even saying I'm a sex addict, because of that shame, that false shame that says basically that that's, you know, if you say that, then you're kind of admitting that's all who you are, which is not true at all. I mean, people are more than their sin. And, you know, you, as I, are on the Exodus International Professional Counselors Network. This definitely comes in with guys dealing with the same gender attraction issue. What are you seeing from that angle when it comes to story and how specifically the same gender struggler is struggling with that aspect of it?
Well, and you know, everybody's pain and story is different for everybody. Not everybody arrives there the same way, but I notice a lot of times some of the guys in my practice will show up and something will have happened in their life, whether it's emotional or physical or both. And I'll say it in a more simple way. Pain happened to them at some point, and they started to develop an identity out of that pain. They started to be defined by it. They thought it was the thing that, well, gosh, if this happened to me, then this must really be who I am. Or something happens and it just creates this snowball of shame. And I've found, probably as have you, that shame is this thing. It's almost like it has its own life. It tries to keep itself alive. And so it'll keep a guy or a girl doing the things that keep it alive. Something happens to you in your life young that you're ashamed of, you know, whether it's emotional or physical. And, you start to think, well, perhaps I'm shameful, or I'm ashamed of myself because this thing happened. But shame, in running from it, we run to more shame, and we'll begin to do things, self-sabotage, begin to act out of that pain and that shame. And that's what I find. And all of that is so tied to story.
Right.
If you can go back to that place and start to retool, reinterpret, you know, I didn't really have to be this person.
Yeah.
I've spent 12 years of my life, or however many years of my life, thinking I had to be this guy because what other guy could I be, you know? And when God begins to shine some light into that, you know, when a person sees, they come back to that original thing that they were made for, you know, to be glorious or heroic or beautiful or whatever it is that they are. When you come back to that place, I think that's really where some healing starts.
Yeah.
And the reinterpretation takes a while. It's not so I didn't have to do that. Now I'm better. You know, that it takes a while to see with new eyes some of that stuff.
Right. It's like letting God start to tell your story rather than, you know, you telling your story. And when we let God start to be the, you know, the author and the finisher of our stories, that there is a transition there. And, you know, I'm just kind of thinking as you're talking, it doesn't always have to be about even our sin issues. It can just be about other life choices, like our profession. I mean, there's guys right. that get into recovery and wives that get into recovery and teens and parents that get into co-recovery that start to really re-examine some of the things in their life, like profession. One of my heroes is a guy named Mark from the Memphis area, and you know him. And oh my goodness, I could just write a book about this guy alone. I love him. He's one of my role models in recovery. And one of the things he's doing is he's looking at, okay, I've got this career right now, but I think I'd really like to go to seminary. I'd really like to do ministry. And, you know, he's taking huge risks. And oh my gosh, I just love that idea, rewriting your story redemptively and letting God take you in the direction that he wants you to go and partnering with him that way. It's a little scary, and I know it's been scary for you. I mean, Colorado Springs is not West Texas. Teaching and counseling are very different, and you know, but God's doing it, and he's writing the story, and it is a beautiful legend. I want to help these folks understand when it comes to you and your work and legend, especially if they're sitting there thinking, well, you know, how do I know Taft would be a good person for me to work with? Describe a little bit, who is your ideal client? Who are you called to work with? What are some of the things that they may be struggling with? And what does that look like a little bit?
Yeah, it's, I love, I don't know about an ideal client, but I love people who just very simply have lost. I don't like that they feel lost in their sense of themselves.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But I love it when people show up and they're searching. I love it when men show up and it's as if they're trying to come home and they don't really know what that looks like.
Mm-hmm.
They sense that something's off the rails for them. They sense mm-hmm. that they're not. I for myself, I said it like this. I don't know that I would have made an ideal client by a long stretch.
Mm-hmm.
But at one point in my life, I said, I feel like I'm living life under anesthesia.
Mm.
Where, and it's the kind where I can stay awake and I see what's going on and I'm interacting and I've got all this life around me,
mm-hmm.
but I don't feel anything.
Mm.
There's no juice in it. I can't connect. I feel, I even have good friends. I've got people that love me and I feel mm-hmm. like the anesthesia is just constantly kicked in.
Just numb.
Mm-hmm. You know, I can say the right things. I can be about the right things.
Mm-hmm.
And it is a heart disconnect.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's a dangerous place for men to be.
And yeah, for any of us. I mean, it's just so, because it's autopilot,
mm-hmm.
you know, huge chunks of time pass.
Mm-hmm.
in that state. And it really only hits you when you get quiet or you go to a retreat or some friend says some, you know, mm-hmm. important thing to you or, mm-hmm. you know, usually you're staying up too late at night or something mm-hmm. and a commercial will come on and you'll be crying and you don't know why
mm-hmm.
because there's your heart's dying to live again.
Those infomercials can be so powerful that
yeah,
way.
Yeah, exactly.
Right.
Right. that could be a new ministry. I don't know.
Yeah.
But,
So, you know, that is great because it's those little sort of cracks in the ceiling where God shines through and reaches our heart in those places. And we really have to embrace that and hold on to that if we are going to get to our hearts, you know, because that numbness is a killer. You know, it's like you ever feel like catch yourself, somebody asking you how you're feeling and you're like, fine, you know, the Christian F word.
Mm-hmm.
It stands for freaked out, insecure, neurotic, and emotional. Okay. And so it sounds like you're going after something beyond that. You want to be yeah. able to not only be that kind of person, but help people be in touch with their heart that way and living from their heart that way. And I love how, you know, you don't have a set ideal client because we tend to think of that in terms of, well, what are you struggling with? You know, but you're talking about reaching people along the lines of something that we are all commonly searching for, and that is meaning, story, a deeper understanding of who we are, you know, our identity, like we talked about.
Yeah, it's when fine is no longer okay with someone.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And in fact, when fine is really make is when fine, the acronym that you mm-hmm. mentioned, when that's burning your life down around you,
yeah.
That's when I like to walk with people.
Right.
You know, when they've come to the place where they're saying, I can't be fine anymore.
Right.
And sometimes that, and more often than not now, that's the sexually broken.
Right.
Or someone whose their shame has taken them places, even as a married person, that they can't, they don't feel like they can come back from.
Yeah.
Yeah. And fine is what put them there.
And isn't it interesting that the people we're called to help, so commonly dealing with sexual brokenness, that you could see our sexual brokenness and where we've tried to fill that gap with sex as even something as that could be understood as an attempt to connect with God. You know, who was it, Chesterton, that said that at the door of every brothel stands somebody seeking after God? And boy, I mean, that's deep. Talk about those deep places. I mean, that there's a mystery in there, isn't it?
Yeah, we know we were made for to be transcendent. We know we were made for intimacy. Mm-hmm. This is just when we think about it. You know, right. You get up in the morning and you think, you know, I should be able to tap into something outside of time and space today.
Yeah.
Something's got to mean something beyond this.
Right.
And as far as that transcendence of the sexual act.
Right.
You know, it's a little taste of transcendence.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But you know, it's also medicine. If we use it that way.
Right, absolutely. In other words, our desire for sex is not bad at all. It's good. It's of God. It's just, are we going to love God enough to use it in the way he intended? And are we going to embrace the Spirit enough to be able to be empowered towards self-control? Now, as we're kind of steering the ship into the harbor here, if I'm out there thinking, well, hey, you know, what can TAF offer me? Give us a nuts and bolts idea of where the rubber meets the road in terms of the services you're offering at Legend.
Okay. Well, obviously, I do individual counseling, mm-hmm. marriage counseling. I do same gender attraction. I do that kind of counseling with people. I also work with teens. I have, in fact, a live teen recovery group for teenage guys who have flirted with disaster in terms of internet pornography or sexual addiction. I also have men's recovery groups.
Teleconference groups,
yes, nationwide.
So you can be anywhere in the world.
Absolutely.
Okay. Great.
You can be anywhere in the world. You can dial into this. And my groups, I don't let them grow beyond about 7 guys.
Mm-hmm. Intimate.
And so that there's everybody gets airtime. Everybody gets their story heard.
Great.
Lots of feedback mm-hmm. and things like that. So,
why don't you give them a phone number where they can reach you?
I can be reached at, and if you're local, Colorado Springs, it's 719-268-2764.
Okay. And again, he's on the web, folks, at legendcounseling.com. So, TAF, welcome. I know we're going to talk a little bit in
Thanks.
The next show about where we're going with this thing, baby, but welcome aboard.
Thank you.
And folks, listen, if you want to connect with TAF and I, and you are in the Colorado Springs area, check out our events page at healingforthesoul.org on the services tab. And we're going to be at Love One Out here in Colorado Springs. And then I'll be in Memphis in the middle of October for a men's weekend there. So look, this is Jason Graves and TAF Winnick for the Blazing Grace Show. We'll see you next week.
Thanks for listening. Blazing Grace is a listener-supported program, and your prayers and financial contributions are greatly appreciated. For more information on the issues discussed in today's program or to make a tax-deductible donation, go to healingforthesoul.org. We appreciate you listening and hope you join us next time for Blazing Grace.